Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday. Last four digits of the phone number are 6255, or through PayPal, SerenitySunday1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hi, I'm Tim, compulsive overeater, and I'll share these pictures with, what do you call it? With the Zoom room. There's me. I think the pacifier makes me a little slimmer. There you go. I'll pass these around. Okay. Just to qualify and get the numbers out of the way, I've been back from relapse, abstinent 14 years, and I'm down 100 pounds as of this month. I think it's very important. That number for me, I've got to be really clear, because my disease loves vagueness. It loves the gray areas, and that's really kind of where it will operate. And so, I just kind of like to qualify with the exact number of where it is this month. I grew up in the Midwest. I did not grow up a heavy child. It was one of two things we always had to do, and that kept us busy and work and moving around. My father, we grew up on a big piece of property, so there were lots of chores that had to be done. My father also owned a company, so at the age of 5 years old, we had to go start working for him. We would do vacuuming and cleaning and inventory on the weekends and all that stuff. So we were always busy. And also, I love sports. I love sports. So we were always busy. And, but I definitely noticed that I ate differently than even people that were on the farm, even people that grew up out in rural areas. I ate differently. I could eat as much as my older cousins, could at a very young age. And I kind of like that, because I was singled out for that. Oh my God, look, he can eat like he can eat. He can eat as much as the older kids. And so I was paid attention to for the amount that I could eat. I noticed the first time that I, what do you call it, food, I used food to solve a problem was, I would think I was in fifth or sixth grade. I was a really good athlete. And I remember getting home from school, and I liked a girl that didn't like me back. And I don't know why I was not taught this, but I got out a loaf of bread, I got out the toaster, I got out the butter, and as fast as that assembly line, as the butter turned, or the bread turned to toast and I could butter it, I could eat it as fast as it came off. And something happened to me during that time that it doesn't do for other people. All of a sudden, it solved my problem. All of a sudden, the girl, the rejection went away. All of a sudden, it solved problems for me. And it doesn't do that for other people. And so for me, that's the first time I noticed. And again, nothing happened. I didn't all of a sudden go off on a binge. My mom came home and says, hey, Tim, you still have to eat dinner. And I'm like, that's not a problem. I can eat dinner, right? And so it wasn't until years later. And it's so funny when I hear people talk about high school. That was there was a little bit of a weight gain, but it was maybe 20 or 30 pounds. Again, I noticed that the people, because when I was in eighth grade, we moved from the farm to the city, and it was kind of like Beverly Hillbillies, and they did not eat like rural people ate. So what did I do to fit in? Because I really need to fit in. I started drinking like they did, and alcohol did for me what food did for me. It made me. It took away my problems. It made me feel more confident. It made me feel more part of. And I used food, or I used alcoholically for about the next 15 years. And so it was a way of just taking the edge off, right? And I probably went up let's say in college, college was the first jump where I noticed that, oh, wait a minute, there's a problem here. And I probably went up 20 to 40 pounds. But I was, you know, again, for women, girlfriends, and success were the two things that I could drop weight for. If I was focused on a job that I had to do, I would just no longer focus on food, and the weight would just come off. If I wanted a particular girl, it was my belief, and again, it's not true. It was my belief that I had to be thin to get a girlfriend, so I could drop the weight and then get the girlfriend. And I always came into relationships thin, and I would leave fat. I would get lazy. I would stop doing the exercise. I would start eating foods. I would get comfortable, and then my weight would go up. And so what happened for me, and it's a very important moment in my life, was at 28 years old, alcohol was removed. One day I was a drinker, and the next day I was not a drinker. And it was over. Since that time, and that's been 23 years, I have not even thought about it, taking a drink. The one thought occurred about 6 months after that moment of taking a drink, right? And it just went away. And really, that's what I was hoping what would happen with food, right? And it's a very important thing. So alcohol was removed, but guess what? Food came in. And this was the first time that I gained a lot of weight. I gained about 60 to 80 pounds very quickly. And, you know, I had never exercised. I played lots of sports before, but I'd never exercised before. And so I exercised for the first time. And I still have never run a 5K, but I've run marathons. I've done triathlons. And so I did my first marathon. And as I was driving back from Chicago to Cincinnati, I'm thinking, what's next? Because I knew if I stopped doing the exercise, I was going to gain the weight back. And then it was like, oh, well, I don't want to do another marathon. I want to do something more new and exciting, right? I need new and exciting. So what did I do? I did the Ironman. I did that. And as I'm driving back from Lake Placid to Ohio, I'm thinking, what's next? And again, there's at the time, there wasn't ultra marathons yet, or I'd have probably tried those. And so what I did was I pulled a Geographic and moved. Within 2 months of finishing the Ironman, I had a company. I had my own construction company, and I sold that company, and I moved to California. Now, my godfather, God bless him, was the person that kind of 12-stepped me into 12-step programs. He was an Alcoholics Anonymous, and unfortunately, he died from this disease. Even a sober member, he was in his 50s. He had to be in a nursing home, and they took pieces of him slowly because he could not stop eating sugar. He could not stop eating the starches and carbs, and his body just wouldn't handle it. And he eventually died from compulsive overeating. But he pulled me aside. He goes, Tim, he goes, I think you're going to do great. He goes, you're a hard worker. You seem to have everything going. You know, you're going to get out there and you're going to do really well. And he goes, but at some point you're going to show up in California and you won't be able to run from you any longer. And I'm like, I'm not even sure what you're talking about. You know, when I get to California, when that car gets to California, I will be in California. And he goes, okay. And he just let me go. And sure enough, about a year and a half coming to California, the job was no longer new and exciting. The town was no longer new and exciting. The new girls were no longer new and exciting. And sure enough, the real Tim showed up. The real Tim showed up, and I started taking back foods. I started foods that I was avoiding that I knew once I started, I couldn't stop. They started slipping back in, just started slipping back in the cracks. So during this time, I met a man, Walter. I think people know him, White Flag Walter. He in person, he used to bring a flag, a surrender flag. I met this guy, and he was, he's, 6'2", whatever, 180 pounds. And I'm 5'8", and I'm on my way back up. I'm on my way back up. And he goes, like, you're just like me. And I'm like, I don't think so. I really don't think so. And he says, yeah. He goes, here's a picture. And he showed me a picture of him on a mountain bike at like 300 pounds. And I was like, oh, well, what did you do? Tell me what you ate. And he goes, Tim, I couldn't stick to a food program. I could not stick to a diet without, I went to Overeaters Anonymous. And now, of course, I love how we think we know everything without ever stepping through the door, right? I thought I knew. Well, I knew what 12-step programs were about. I knew, I'd heard about them. I'd seen them in movies. I didn't want to be part of a 12-step program, especially for food. Especially for food. Yeah, if I was an alcoholic, then that'd be true. So remember that story I told you about alcohol being removed, and it just went away. So I went and I tricked my brothers and sisters into competing with me in a marathon. I tricked them. We're going to go back to Chicago. We're going to run a marathon. These are two first-time marathoners, and I'm going to whip their ass, right? But I'm starting. It's no longer new and exciting. It's no longer fun to run those 20 miles. It's no longer to do the training. It's no longer new. And so I'm starting to skip them. And sure enough, when we go back to Chicago the night before the marathon, everybody, all my family comes together to support all of us, right? There's family people that aren't even doing it, fly in for it. So I come from a good family. But lots of problems, but a good family. And so they say, they're like, hey, we're going to go out to dinner. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to go out to dinner. I'm going to stay in my room, just get some extra sleep. Well, you know, I need something to eat. So I order room service. I order a pizza. I'm just going to have a couple pieces. I'll eat the rest tomorrow after the marathon. Well, sure enough, I ate the whole pizza. And again, I felt fine. The next day, the marathon did not turn out very well. And what happened was the two first-time marathoners, my brothers and sisters, they had a better time than me. And that was humiliating. And something had happened to me, had never happened to me before. In all my training and everything, I bought a book, a diet book. I was in the Chicago airport flying back to L.A. I am ready. I read
the book. Entering first 5 minutes.
Excellent. Perfect. This is going much faster. So in the Chicago airport, buy the book. Fly home. I'm getting the foods together. I am ready. I'm going to have my first Monday morning. I'm going to start this. I have never done this before. And by lunchtime, I am eating uncontrollably. I could not stop. And I couldn't stop. Once I put that food in, I could not stop eating. And I called Walter. He said, let's go to a meeting. We went to a meeting. And at the time, this was in 2003, somewhere in that 2003. There were over 100 meetings in the Valley. You could go to a meeting definitely any day of the week, but in almost any time. There were morning meetings, there was lunchtime meetings, and there was evening meetings. So we got to a meeting right away, and I hated it. I felt so uncomfortable. But you know what I really liked? I liked the fellowship. We went out afterwards. We had a little lunch. We started talking. We started reasoning out. And what I got right away was there were certain foods that once I put them in my body, I couldn't stop eating. I definitely grasped that right away. I had this allergy that once I put them in, I have this craving, which is no matter how much I want to stop, I am not stopping. Right? That's important because the way the world talks about craving is not the same craving that we have. It's a totally different craving. So I was like, oh, flour and sugar. I know flour and sugar. I can't handle any of those things. And I'd heard it a couple times. I remember, again, this was before I got, this was at the very beginning. I remember my thinking, and this is really what I want to express is the thinking that I was like, oh, I shouldn't be eating pizza because that's flour and sugar, whatever, right? But I said, you know what? If I eat the pizza right before I go to sleep, my body won't know that I ate the pizza, so I won't have craving and I'll be fine. And so sure enough, I ate a couple pieces of pizza. I went right to sleep. That experiment worked really well, right? But not the next day. It didn't. Not the next day. The next day it was like, oh, well, there's still more leftovers. Let me, you know, if I do it at lunch and take a nap, you know, so then it starts back again. So I have this thing. And after that, I grasped it and I really saw that, whoa, any decisions around food that are going to be alcoholic foods, I'm going to go off the rails. And I don't know, you know, and so I put flour and sugar down. I got back down to my high school rest. I got back down to lower than I am now. And everything was going really well. I was going to meetings. I was going to fellowship at this time. So now I'm looking good. I get the girlfriend. Right. That's the first thing I'm going to pick up is the girlfriend, you know, in L.A. looking good. I'm going to pick up the girlfriend. And that's what I did. I picked up the girlfriend. The job started to turn into the career. So the meetings were a mile down the road. There were 7:30 in-person meetings a mile down the road every day. And I was going every day, except when I couldn't. And then, you know what? what started to happen was, hey, you know, I would leave. I like spin classes. I love I do. I just kind of like an exercise now. So I'm now leaving the meeting early so I can get to the Hollywood YMCA to go to their spin class. So I'm getting half a meeting. I'm getting, and my weight's still good. I'm still sending in my food. I've gone through the steps out of the 12 and 12, gone through all through the steps, made my amends, did all that stuff. But I am now, I've got a food sponsor. So I'm telling my step sponsor part of the truth, and I'm telling my food sponsor the other part of the truth. So now I've got this weird thing where nobody's calling me on my shit. And I am being fully honest with two people. So nobody sees the whole picture. And I'm loving it because it's all working well for a while. But then what happens is, and I want to really get to this because I love that there's a ping pong analogy that I love to use. So what happens is everything goes well for a while. And then I start to drift. Like I said, the girlfriend turns into the fiance. The job turns into the career. This what was a shitty, isolated, miserable life starts to turn into this great thing. And I was basically given OA the one finger salute. Thank you so much for everything you do. But now I don't have time to be of service to other people. And so I don't know when it happened. And so I'm slowly walking my way out of the meetings and I'm not really seeing it. Right. And I don't know if anybody ever said, hey, don't turn your back on this thing. Don't turn your back on this disease because it will come after you. And sure enough, I'm working on a job. And there was these shitty little donuts. They're not even good donuts. It's a low budget job. They're shitty donuts. And you know what? I was like, ooh, those look good. And exactly like the promises said, we recoil. And I did. I recoiled. I was like,
last 5 minutes.
Oh, I mean, my last 5 minutes? Okay. All right. So you know what? I told myself it'll be one donut and it'll be one, what do you call it? It will be one day. Cause the excuse that the disease used on me was, guess what, Tim, if you just eat the donut, that will be a real break in your abstinence. And then you'll come back tomorrow and start your time over. You'll just miss one day and it'll just be one donut. Well, I ate every one of those donuts. And then the next day I did not feel like coming back in and saying, hey, I'm going to humble myself to you. I'm going to say, I made a mistake. I think I made a mistake. I think I missed something here. Right. And so it was 5 years. Now, remember the story that I told you about alcohol just being removed. Now, my plan for those 5 years was I'm going to lose the weight and tell you and come back and tell you how I did it. Once I look good again, then I will come and say, this is how I did it. Now, I don't know what happened on May the 4th, 2009. One thing I do know is that I could not stop eating. My daughter was 6 months old. She was sleeping through the night. We were going to have our Netflix night. So I went from, I don't know why, my wife loves me. You know, the only thing she was worried about was our wedding pictures. I kept it under control just to get the wedding. I got her married and then I just ballooned up to 280 pounds. And so on May the 4th, 2009, I went from McDonald's to Wendy's to Burger King or wherever it was. I forget what they were. And then I got the pizza on the way home and I couldn't stop eating. I could not stop eating. And I have been given everything. I have been given the best education money can buy. I've been given, it was hard growing up in my family, but I was given a great work ethic, a top-notch work ethic. I've been given a good moral compass. I have been given everything and I can't stop eating. What the fuck is wrong with me? I woke up that morning and because I couldn't stop eating and I threw up in my mouth. I threw up in my mouth and I'm like, what is wrong with me? But I knew where the answer was. And again, I had the experience with alcohol just being removed, but that was not the case. I am not a real alcoholic. I am a real compulsive overeater. I must be diligent today because at certain times I have no defense against the first bite. So it is about diligence. It is about, again, I don't know if it was said or not when I came in 2003, but I know I make sure that I am diligent about keeping an eye on this disease. My actions. Now, again, I have not spoken about God. And the reason I don't speak about God, because as soon as I put words to God, it falls short. But something, you got to watch me. You got to be around. You got to stick around. Something happened over the last 14 years. I will show up. You will see what I do. I don't need to write a gratitude list about what has happened in my life. My life is wonderful. The wife that was afraid of me 14 years ago, we have a great relationship. We've got two kids that are doing so exceptionally well. And it really has very little to do with me, but it has to do with you guys. It has to do with you guys, because I have gotten to come here for the last 14 years and be basically being the show and tell guy and say, this is how it's going for me right now. This is how it's going for me. I've gotten to share my problems with you, and you've patted me on the back. And at times you swatted me on the ass when I needed it. You know, so there's been discipline, there's been love, there's been compassion, and you guys have helped me. Guided me to a new way of living. To this God that I just can't explain. I don't know. I believe in God, but I have no idea how to explain it. But my actions will tell you exactly what I believe. I believe I'm a compulsive overeater. And if you give me any time, any decision, any wiggle room with the food, I am going to start. And it's for me, how it started was with just a little bit extra on the plate. See, I believe I can trigger my disease, not only with certain foods, but also with quantities of foods. I can start, because I'll justify the weight gain. I will justify it. I've been within 5 pounds of my weight for the past 14 years. Because when I go above my weight range, my sponsor says, you lose food. My sponsor says, your food is gone. When you go below your food range, your weight range, you get to add food. And it's at the end of the story. I just present myself and say, here we are. This is the problem. I can't make decisions around food. I will say, oh, I'm working out. Oh, I'm working out. Or I hurt my knee and I can't work out. Well, yeah, I'll justify everything. I have a professional rationalizer. So when I was out, so this is a totally different experience than my alcohol experience. Not even during those 5 years when I was out and I couldn't stop. That's it. Thank you very much.